something to suck out your breath.
You just missed the greatest comment, as is always the case. Just now during the break, we were talking about cats, and I was saying, I don't mean any disrespect to our cat-owning listeners. I'm just saying that at the top of today's program, at about 12:05, we were talking about listener Chris. Mailman Chris is our official stenographer, and how there was an inadvertent cat death, so-called inadvertent. There was an allegedly inadvertent cat death at his house over the weekend. And we sat and riffed on cat death for like 15 minutes. Not one complaint. I take it back. There was one guy. Well, there was one guy who emailed in to complain, but he also noted that he owned 12 cats. So draw your own conclusions there. But not one person complained. Not one person was horrified because no one really likes cats and everyone knows that they're evil. And then Tim just sort of said, why not just share your home with gang members? Which is genius.
And then they speculated on whether or not if cats had guns, what would they do with
them? So Tim said, you gave cats guns? Can you imagine what would happen? Which is, I got to confess, a thing that I haven't really ever imagined. And then you were noting that like for like 3 weeks, a couple years ago, you had a cat because you found it somewhere and you were fool enough to take it home.
And
you
found
the owner.
Yeah.
And they said that you would wake up in the middle of the night and cat would just be staring at you.
It would be laying on my chest staring at me.
Just sitting there wondering how it could rip out your trachea. Yeah.
I didn't like it.
No, they're bad. They're bad, bad creatures. It's 503-733-2970. I will have the good taste not to mention Tim's idea for a 3 minutes in the cooler contest. It's 503-733-2970. Yeah, we're going to go to the city desk in just a moment. Let's welcome our good friend Kristen from accounting who joins us now. Hello, what's up with you, sister?
Actually, that sounds like a pretty good like contest ticket giveaway or something. Cat in the cooler. there's something there. I know you're not telling me.
I'm just saying it. It seems like
it's a thing. I just wanted to call and reassure Sarah that you were fine talking to Storm about
was
the whole Solana thing.
Because I'm really worked up about it.
But
you know that they're sheltered. You know they're so sheltered. She doesn't know what's going on.
And that's the thing is you are speaking for all of us because you actually have Storm's ear once a week. So
now is this Delana stuff that Storm isn't present for? Because
no,
I haven't watched the webisode.
No, this is Delana on the red carpet, like flagging all of the other cast members when they're not around.
Oh, when they're not. So nobody witnessed this but us, really. So the public witnessed it, but they didn't.
And it's kind of a collective thing because she's been doing this now the last couple of weeks where she's been weaseling her way in and, you know, just like chipping away at everybody else's credibility and trying to just be like, you know, I'm the best thing you guys could have, you know. So she's just kind of, you know, not coming across as the nicest person.
Well, here's the thing is because she's got to know that Storm, whether you, here's another, if I can be sidetrack here for a second, you will note, well, I won't get off onto the subject right now, but I will I was weighing whether to say something, and I won't right now. I'll wait, but because it would spur a whole other conversation. But
we can talk about it Wednesday.
I think the difference is that Storm obviously would be helped by the show, but doesn't need the show. I think Delana recognizes this is her only chance.
All she has,
because she's like 100 years old. And she looks like Iron Eyes Cody. And it's not like anybody's going to be offering her a job if this one falls through.
Yeah, and Storm has... And like Storm said, she is it. She's the bomb, and she doesn't have anything to worry about. She rules.
I mean, a worst-case scenario. I mean, flat-out worst-case scenario. Storm gets booted off the show, comes back here, and is like 10 times bigger here than she ever was before.
Exactly.
That's the worst case scenario, and even that's not so bad. So.
And we know that it's not going to be that.
No.
It's already
absolutely not
going on.
No,
but anyway, so Sarah, I think you were fine. We're all behind you, sister, and
Are you going to be there tomorrow night?
Of course. Where else am I going to be?
It starts an hour later tomorrow, 10 o'clock, Dante's.
Yeah. It just gives us more time to drink.
I know. We can start the drinking time at the same time.
Fantastic.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Kristen.
All right.
All right. There you go. That's Kristen from accounting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. How loud is he going to be this time?
From higher top, the one of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon. This has been Fitz. CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. Quiznos Senior Vice President of Marketing has been put on indefinite leave following his arrest for allegedly arranging to meet and have sex with a girl he believed was 13 years old. This was his belief, allegedly. Scott Lippitt faces at least 5 felony charges, including criminal attempt at sexual assault of a child, enticement of a child, contributing to delinquency of a minor, internet luring, that's the first one I've heard of that, internet luring, and internet sex exploitation of a child, according to documents from the Fremont County Clerk's Office in Colorado.
I'm always so confused by this. If this is true, the guy's clearly scum and needs to be put in a small room for the rest of his life, but I am always really unclear about how you can get nailed for exploitation of a child if there is no child. I'm not saying that he shouldn't go to jail. Clearly, the guy should not be out there just to free. But I mean, it's all very strange. I always wonder how that works. But I mean, my question is this: don't you think they know what this? Look, I don't want to be like I'm giving would-be sex predators a lot of tips, but wouldn't you just sort of assume from now on that anytime you're online, if you're some perv, and you're talking to somebody who claims to be, like, I'm a 13-year-old girl, and I love, like, fat, bald guys who are 60. It's an FBI agent. It's some guy with a gun sitting in a Motel 6 talking to you. And he's surrounded by other guys with guns who are going to beat you and break your legs when you come there to try to have sex. Wouldn't you just assume if you were some pedophile? I mean, look, don't we all know how this ends? Like, if you were just to come to us, just some people on the street, and you say, look, here's some perv sitting alone in his basement talking to somebody who's claiming to be a 13-year-old. The 13-year-old claims to be all hot and loves older guys who are pathetic and horny and losers. You know, wouldn't we all just know that the end of the story is that he goes to the hotel and it's a cop? I mean, that everybody knows that. They ought to just put him in prison just for being a goddamned idiot at this point. Jesus. So there you go. And he works where?
Quiznos.
That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Nate just sent me. He's toasted.
See, I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to make the toasty joke.
Okay. Well, it's good that everyone participates. Time now for a Florida story.
That was some shaming right there. I was like Johnny Ringo. I didn't even get my hand on the gun. My hands are still both on the countertop. I didn't even get a chance to try to fire that one. You just clocked
That's
me.
Okay.
All right.
A crook on crutches who robbed a South Florida convenience store is in custody. He was arrested thanks to a Sharp-eyed hospital employee who spotted 41-year-old Joseph Gommett when he came in for treatment and called police. Gommett is accused of holding up Joe's Market. About a week ago, the clerk, Ray Jadia, says he watched Gommett hobble over to the soda case, pick up a soft drink, and hobble back to the counter as if to pay for it, but instead, he allegedly pulled a gun and shoved it in the clerk's face.
He lunged forward and shoved the gun in my chest, pushed me back about 2-3 feet. He's yelling at me to open up the register, and basically I opened up the register, and he kept telling me, just give me the money. So I started emptying all the drawers, and I gave him all the money.
Being robbed by a guy in crutches has got to be particularly emasculating.
Yes, he said he gave him all the money.
Giving him the money, I mean, a couple hundred dollars is definitely not worth my life here.
No, I'm not telling you to go rob places. All I'm saying is that, I mean, nobody at 7-Eleven really cares. Is some guy behind the counter $6 an hour? Doesn't care. He'll let you take it all.
Joe Lieberman says he's devoted to the Democratic Party. On Face the Nation over the weekend, the Connecticut Democrat denied the notion he is a de facto Republican.
I am a Democrat. Look at my voting record. I voted 90% of the time with the majority of Democrats in the United States Senate. But when I disagree, I'm going to have the courage of my convictions to say so.
Because when you think Joe Lieberman, you think courage. That's what you think.
Time for the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch.
Well, it
almost seems like we had to reverse those because that one's the short one. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like that ought to be the close, and the longer one ought to be the open because that's typically the way we do it.
Put them in backward. I can play them.
Oh, there you go. Okay. There you go. Here's.
Well, there's nothing like a little retail therapy to make a heavily pregnant mum of one feel better. But when you're Britney Spears, a little means blowing $5,000 on a 30-minute shopping spree. The pop princess was spotted in L.A. checking out some outlandish clothes that included a multicolored spotted dress, stripy pink cardigan, and denim hot pants. And while 11-month-old Sean Preston slipped in the car, watched by security when the windows all
that's
the way
love.
Up.
That's love, right? To stay in the car. Mommy has to buy hot pants.
Britney was all smiles as her wallet clearly wasn't the only thing bulging during her shopping splurge. I don't know what that means.
What? I don't understand.
Britney,
I thought maybe that was a reference to Kevin Federline.
I did. The 24-year-old who gave birth to a second child, told the staff at Trendy Intuition she couldn't wait to get back in shape so she could wear some stylish clothes. But for the time being,
show off your scar.
She has to make do with more sensible items and eventually walked out with a straw hat, maternity jeans.
A straw hat.
That's for her mule, expensive perfume, and a designer bag. Rumors of a split with her husband, Kevin, continue to surround the star, who ventured out without him. However, this may be... This is the smallest font I have ever seen. How small can this... I've got glasses on. However,
I don't know. You lost me a Britney Spears who just put on 40 pounds buying hot pants.
This may just have been down to the wannabe rapper's recent shopping ban. He sent thousands of. How could anyone read this?
Tim's
Can we bring somebody else in to read this, please?
Tim's doing that thing where he's holding the paper at arm's length and kind of squinting over his glasses at it.
An onlooker said she seemed to be in good spirits, but there was no ring on her finger.
She's jolly.
She was also having a good look at all the baby clothes, especially all the cute little T-shirts.
All right, there you go. There's your Britney watch. I don't even know what to say about that. There you go. Thank you.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
My problem is me.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Scott. By the way, Scotty made some new sounders for us. Scotty, were those things you played me this morning? Are those in the Scotty Waves folder? Scotty J new sounder. Monday, or in the Waves Scotty J. This is the delivery driver stuff you played for me this morning.
I think this is a private conversation.
It's in Monday.
I love these one-sided conversations.
You sons of bitches. All right.
Either you need to talk slower. Scotty needs to type faster.
Or Monday. Here it is. Okay, Scotty made some... Because he had that delivery driver sound effect, which went on for like an hour, and is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
The bagpipes?
Yeah. Well,
they can all be good.
No, but listen to this. But the retarded thing is, he makes a new one, right? And he's like, well, I got rid of the bag. The bagpipes are the only good thing about that last... Let me play this old delivery driver sounder that he had made for us here. Hold on. This is the delivery driver sounder that Scotty had made for us. Let me see here. Right here.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
So long, crew. So long, mama. Like I ask you, ask you, ask you to do.
Okay, see, that's terrible. But at least
it may not be that to him. It's just his way of seeing it.
Okay.
We all look at things a little differently.
This is, he told me he stripped out the bagpipes, which is stupid because the bagpipes are the best part of that whole thing. So he's created a couple new delivery driver sound effects.
Are they shorter?
A little bit. Delivery drivers are and have been for years. They're like 80% of the audience. We all know this. That you meet somebody who's like, hey, I'm a listener. You know, I listen to the show every day. I'm a big fan or whatever. The odds are like 1 in 2 that the guy's going to say, I'm a delivery driver. But we've never been able to come up with a sound effect for delivery drivers. So let's listen to a couple of these. This is the first, and we have Dave calling with more sec. Okay, what does this mean? I'm looking at this call that's on hold. Dave, dog with sex change info. I don't even know what that means. All right, in the meantime, though, this is the first of two new Scotty delivery driver sound effects.
Today we salute you, Mr. In the Car Nose Picker.
I've been driving on that man's well.
Large Marge sent
ya.
Where's the
beast? Good for you, Scotty.
Yeah, well done.
I'm amused.
I like the Pee Wee's Big Adventure reference.
Here's the second one. I guess the second one is just shorter.
I've been driving on that man's way.
Be sure and tell him Large Marge sent ya.
Where's the beast?
Okay. Talk to Dave. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Oh, you know.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I listen to your show every day, and I have a
thank you
mobile pet grooming business. And I actually do a dog that's had a sex change operation.
Is this the beginning of a bad joke?
No, I swear to God, it's not. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, buddy, that is just so wrong. And he kind of runs with a swagger now, but he seems like a happy guy.
So was he now a girl and he was a boy?
He was a boy. He's a big old German shepherd, and now he's a girl.
You don't just mean that they had him neutered.
No, they took it off. He had some kind of problem, and they just like anybody else would, I guess.
It wasn't the dog's wishes.
So the dog wasn't. It wasn't like he was a girl dog trapped in a boy dog's body, or because the dog doesn't really seem like he'd be able to indicate to you. He what?
He has a whole bunch of puppies.
What?
I am so confused by this call. So,
okay, here's the deal.
Yes.
I go to this lady and she breeds German shepherds. And this one, he was really sick. And when I went back, they go, oh, we had to make Barney into, you know, into Betty.
So the dog, the dog had a problem which required the removal of his business.
Yeah, and they
and they left him with a.
Because they gave him hormones, like.
Yeah, he gets hormones and it looks satanically correct.
Sarah's asking if the dog has
So does it have like.
If he has what?
If he has bosoms, if it's whatever you call
long eyelashes.
I was worried about that too. No, I guess he didn't get the implant.
Oh no, I meant like the. Never mind.
Okay.
Okay.
No, it looks completely right.
Oh, we're losing your phone. No. No.
That's me. Those power lines.
No, that's too bad. All right.
Okay.
Let's break now. I don't understand anything about today's program. We're going to break now. We're going to come back. We got more. It's 503-733-2.
House Bill 354.
503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere, kids. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. And whatnot. Okay. His mother love bone. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson show. And out. Flawless execution.
I was reading Storm's article.
In the Oregonian? Did he really say that?
He really said that.
All right. This is the article by, what's his name, Lee Williams?
Lee something.
Or did he really describe the visit as conjugal?
He said this is the first time they've seen each other in a while, and he knows that the visit will be conjugal.
Why would you write that?
Maybe he meant congenial.
Maybe he meant they were going to conjugate something.
Like verbs?
Like a verb. Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like a conjunction.
There wasn't enough time for a spelling bee.
All right. I would never write that about somebody, just so you know. It's 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. All these people are calling about dog sex changes for reasons lost to us. Let's see. Is this a vet technician, Scotty, on one here? Tekla? Declare. And now it's gone.
She disappeared.
All right, yeah, now
it's just an emergency call.
Is that still who's on line one? Well, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll come back to these calls. If for somebody, yeah, this guy called up, and he used the rather disturbing phrase, I do a dog that's had a sex change. So all of these people...
I burned myself this weekend.
You're giving yourself a good scratching over there.
No, I got sunburned.
Ah, I see, on the sensitive part. Was it a conjugal sunburn? Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley is your personal savior. He's at the city desk. I just look over sometimes and it's like you'll be scratching a sensitive part of your anatomy?
That's
or
sensitive. I was scratching my shoulder.
Okay, that's not your shoulder unless you've got a third shoulder that I don't know about. Your collarbone. Or, you know, look over and you'll just be sniffing an armpit or something. It's all a lot of weirdness in this studio. No, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that we have a comfortable relationship. Just saying.
Not very nice, Rick.
What?
The things going behind the scenes.
You've mentioned that on the air before.
You never heard those kind of conversations on Coin 6.
It's true. We have Sarah Dillon, who's going to be sniffing in our pit this morning.
We heard you bake some muffins over the weekend.
Anything.
Not right now.
Rick.
What?
Stop.
Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Well, after months of internet buzz, Snakes on the Plane finally hit the theaters. And open at top of the heap, it was number one. It made $15.2 million.
Well, see, the thing, that half of its production cost, because the movie only cost $30 million to make. Mm-hmm. So it made half of its money back right now. It'll make the rest overseas, and it'll make, you know, and everything that comes out on DVD will be profit, so.
Number two was Television Nights, and that made about $14.1 million.
Here's the thing about Snakes on a Plane. Is it Snakes on a Plane, which, and Fatboy and I were talking about this, that you read all of these reviews where these idiot movie reviewers were talking about it's so bad, it's good, and the thing is, it's not. That's the thing about Snakes on a Plane. This is why we told everybody last week, and this is kind of the last day we'll talk about this, because it's sort of done. We're done. It's an 18-month adventure. It's kind of over. We're just wrapping it up here. But the thing about Snakes on a Plane is the movie isn't so bad, it's good. It's just terrible. It takes a special kind of movie to be so bad that it's fantastic. And it's not that bad. It's just a poorly made film. What made it, though, was the audience. And I will say this, and I mean this with all sincerity, is that it is the single best theatrical experience I have ever had in my life. As I mentioned earlier, I was talking to my wife last night, and she's like, how was Snakes on a Plane? Because she was out of town. And I said, you know what? There's no way to describe what that Snakes on a Plane screening was like. Sarah was there, and it's like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a once-in-a-lifetime movie-going experience, and I don't mean that in an ironic way. I've been going to movies for, whatever, 20-some years now. I have never in my life had a movie-going experience like Snakes on a Plane last Thursday, ever. Same thing with Aaron. I asked Fatboy, same thing. I have never had a night like that in my life, and I don't think I ever will again, because you can never really, all of the disparate elements that came together for Snakes on a Plane, it will never be duplicated, and I know that they will try to duplicate it. That's the thing. The studios will try to do this again, and it probably won't work. Just like there's some guys out there right now trying to make this the new Rocky Horror with a chant-along script and whatever, and it's not gonna work. But it was a pretty amazing night. But you saw these film reviews that are popping out over the weekend where critics are talking about how it's so bad, it's good, and it's a fantastic movie going, you know, whatever. It's hilarious, and go see it, and you'll have a great time. That's what happens when you take a film critic who has never witnessed geeks en masse before and you put them in the middle of a geek screening, is they come away thinking that this is great, fun, hilarious, fantastic film. It's not. When you get a movie critic who is completely new to the experience of seeing a movie with a bunch of liquored up dorks, they come away thinking it's great, and it's not great. If you didn't see it this last weekend, don't ever see it. Don't rent it on DVD. Don't wait and watch. God, somebody told me that they went to see it like last night, and it was like two people in the theater. That's the wrong way to see it. The right way to see it was to have seen it last Thursday at the premiere. If you missed it last Thursday, you missed your shot. My friends, I believe at this point you have no choice but to just skip the film. For the remainder of your lives, don't ever see it. But for what it was, man, it was a pretty great. It really was kind of a geek Woodstock. You know what I mean? One of those things that in 10 years. And here's the thing: if you were there last Thursday with us, or at some of the other screenings around town, in 10 years, everybody will say that they were at the Snakes on a Plane premiere. In 10 years, everybody will claim they were there. We were there, and just like at Woodstock, you know, the thing is, you talk to those bands who played Woodstock, and I've interviewed in my life a couple bands who played at Woodstock, and without exception, every band that played Woodstock will tell you that it was the worst performance they've ever had, because the equipment was bad, they couldn't hear anything, they were all drunk, they were all stoned, it was raining, whatever. But then nobody remembers that. Everybody just remembers that it was this little concert that was just supposed to be a tiny little thing, and it grew into a huge phenomenon. Nobody really remembers that the music was terrible. They just remember that it was this gigantic cultural event that happened accidentally through the will of the people. That's what Snakes on a Plane was. Tiny little terrible movie that through absolute luck and happenstance became a gigantic happening over the course of one weekend. So that's what it is, man. Snakes on a Plane is the Woodstock for the geeks of the 21st century. You just you make a note of it. You're going to hear that example used later. Remember that I came up with it.
So you'll never see
bitches.
Snake prints in the cement in front of Man's Chinese Theater.
They should do that. They should totally do snake prints.
Why, that's another idea for promotion I've just come up with.
There you go.
Hello,
snake
Susan
prints.
Reynolds, can we do this?
Right in front. Susan Reynolds, please not be getting us that. Right in front of Man's Chinese Theater. Fantastic. All right. Do we have time to do another watch here? We probably don't. Do we got to do
no,
Chris?
No, we'll have to wait till tomorrow.
Got these callers about the, let's see.
Everything has to be put away.
Hello, Tekla?
Yeah.
What kind of a name is that? Russian or something?
No, I don't even know what it is. My grandparents are Swedish, but it's not Swedish. I don't know.
You're a vet tech.
I am.
And you're calling about dog sex strangers.
Just because I thought I'd educate you and maybe your listeners. Basically, if you have a dog with chronic urinary tract infections or chronic bladder stones or something like that, they take their urethra and they they bypass everything else and they lead it to the outside. And so, you know, somebody looking, yeah, it might look like a sex change, but it's really just you're creating a path for you know, that stuff to get its way out of the body.
I have a narrow urethra.
Exactly. So this dog was like the Hank Hill of German Shepherds. It had a narrow urethra and they had to...
You never thought you'd get to use the phrase the Hank Hill of German Shepherds, did you?
Not.
Here's the thing. You are the only person in this country today using that phrase. You are the only person in the United States of America to use that phrase today. You are unique for this one day, Tekla.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. That's kind of a cool name. I dig that name.
Oh, thanks.
How's it spelled?
I made fun of it one time. Tekla.
It's a cool name. I dig it. All right. Thank you, sister.
All right. Take care.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much.
Can I read you one passage, one sentence from the, actually two sentences?
Yes.
From the Oregonian story about Storm?
Sure. And then we got to get that mailman, Chris, here.
Okay. She confesses to loneliness, just like Rossi. The conjugal visit with Leprinzi was brief. He did not stay overnight.
Are you kidding me?
The end.
I'm sure that's what Davey wants, by the way, in the newspaper everywhere. It was brief. Thanks. Thanks a lot, a-holes.
He's still in L.A.
What kind of a man would write that about another man? The conjugal visit was 4.5 seconds long. Who
they
would do that?
Excited to see each other.
All right. Oh, who's that guy? Lee Williams? What's his name? Whoever he is, he's my sworn enemy.
I mean, it wasn't like he was standing outside the door with a stopwatch.
Okay, that's disturbing.
Do you know what it's called? Taken by Storm.
Ah, okay. Well, that probably is the only accurate part there. Let's welcome now...
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Let's welcome now Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Hi. How was your weekend? Oh, wait. Oh, no. So
you ever need another topic for discussion during the day, just... You got me.
If you happen to kill anything else in your family, you just
he
let
didn't
me know.
Kill the cat.
Well, I'm not saying he did.
No, and your caller was right. It's a big 25-pound camping where it's got a metal lid.
I'm telling you.
And the cat may have had suicidal tendencies.
Did the cat act depressed? Was the cat giving away its possessions?
Just stand in the street a lot.
It's great to drop consider.
Was the cat listening to a lot of Sisters of Mercy?
It was far removed from family activities.
Did the cat have a vacant look in its eyes sometimes? And, I'm just saying, I think that the kid is probably young enough that you could pull the old "this is one of the nine lives" trick and look over there. Hey, look, the cat's back.
Yeah, it's a Siamese, so I could probably pull it off anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right.
Well, your watch is, you got to the Week in Geek, you got to the Storm Watch, you got to the Britney Watch, and you got to the Bush Watch. Now, you want to play with some logic, you didn't get the Penis Watch, but the whole damn show was about sex changes, so does that count?
I'm saying that counts.
I'm saying it doesn't, because there's a wonderful Penis Watch we did not get to.
Okay, how about this one?
How do you know that was the, maybe I was talking about these stories, the sex change stories.
This is an even more intellectual, better one. You didn't get Darwin Watch, but... we did, in a roundabout way, do a lot of...
Your cat story really is a living... That's a curriculum vita of Darwin Watches.
It's a Schrodinger's dead cat theorem.
Schrodinger's watch. Okay, thank you, sir. All right, there you go.
So, do we add in two, then?
Yes.
That puts you at 44.
All right, thank you, sir. There you go, and have a better tomorrow.
I'm sure I will now.
Rick Emerson Show... Insert all the closing credits here. We'll see you tomorrow on the Let's Fashion Credit. Thank you for listening. Bye.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.